the physician, Chabrol. Old boy, you've got 48 hours. How ironic. After decades of grub, deluges of wine and alcohol of every sort, after a life spent in butter, cream, rich sauces, and oil, in constant, knowingly orchestrated and meticulously cajoled excess, my trustiest right-hand men, Sir Liver and his associate Stomach, are doing marvelously well, and it is my heart that is giving out. I am dying of a cardiac insufficiency. What a bitter pill to swallow! So often have I reproached others for a lack of heart in their cuisine, in their art, that never for a moment did I think that I might be the one lacking therein, this heart now betraying me so brutally, with scarcely concealed disdain, so quickly has the blade been sharpened. I am going to die, but that is of no importance. Since yesterday, since Chabrol, only one thing matters. I am going to die, and there is a flavor that has been teasing my taste buds and my heart, and I simply cannot recall it. I know that this particular flavor is the first and ultimate truth of my entire life, and that it holds the key to a heart that I have since silenced. I know that it is a flavor from childhood or adolescence, an original, marvelous dish that predates my vocation as a critic, before I had any desire or pretension to expound on my pleasure in eating. A forgotten flavor lodged in my deepest self, and which has surfaced at the twilight of my life as the only truth ever told or realized. I search and cannot find.
René, Rue de Grenelle, the concierge's loge.
And now what? Is it not enough for them that every day the good Lord gives us, I clean up the muck that falls from their rich people's shoes? I vacuum the dust they stir up during their rich people's deambulations. I listen to their rich people's conversations and concerns. I feed their mutts, their cats, water their plants, wipe the noses of their offspring, accept their yearly gifts of money, and that is indeed the only moment when they don't play at being rich. I sniff their perfume, I open the door to their relatives, I hand out their mail dripping with bank statements regarding their rich people accounts and investments and overdrafts. I force myself to smile in response to their rich people smiles, and finally, I live in their rich people building, me, the concierge, a nobody at all, a thing behind a window that people say hello to in great haste to ease their conscience, because it's awkward, isn't it, to see that old thing lurking in her dark little hole without any crystal chandeliers, without any patent leather slippers, without any camel's hair overcoat. It's awkward, but at the same time it's reassuring. Like some incarnation of the social differences that justify the superiority of their class. Like an ugly thing exalting their munificence. Like a foil enhancing their elegance. No, all that is not enough. Because in addition to all that, in addition to leading this existence as an unbecoming recluse day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, and what's worst of all, year after year, I am expected to understand their rich people's sorrows. If they want to have news of the maître, let them ring at his bell.
The Man of Property, Rue de Grenelle, the bedroom.
If I go back to my earliest memories, I find that I have always liked eating. I cannot pinpoint exactly my first gastronomic ecstasies, but there's no doubt as to the identity of my first preferred cook, my own grandmother. On the menu for celebrations, there was meat in gravy, potatoes in gravy, and the wherewithal to mop up all that gravy. I never knew, subsequently, whether it was my childhood or the stews themselves that I was unable to re-experience. But never again have I sampled as fervently. I am the specialist.